We tell our young people in confirmation and youth group that they should go out and change the world. And I think they take that pretty seriously with what they do, but the Gregory family takes it literally. Today we're celebrating Megan Gregory's work in El Salvador as a Peace Corps volunteer for 3.5 years, and many of us have been a part of that in prayer and in support, and so we celebrate that today, and we're going to hear about it from Megan. And many of you remember that just last year we sent Kelly off with our blessing as she went off on a medical mission to Kenya. And from what I hear, you're going to be going back. Is that right, Kenya? Kelly? So these young women are out changing the world, and I hope we'll hear from Kelly sometime about her Kenya experiences. But today we're going to hear from Megan. And, you know, we have a church that prides itself on hands-on mission, but Megan sort of opened our hearts and our eyes to the world beyond our doors. And so today, Megan, we welcome you back to your home here in Wildwood, and we look forward to hearing and seeing more. Megan, welcome.
Good morning to everyone. I see a lot of familiar faces out there, which is wonderful, and a lot of not so familiar faces, which is also wonderful. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Megan, and I've been part of this church family since about fourth grade. But I've been a little bit of a prodigal daughter, I suppose, the last 8 years or so, spending the first 4 years at St. Olaf College in Minnesota, and the last 3.5 plus as a Peace Corps volunteer in El Salvador, which explains why there's some new faces for me. Now, when you hardly come to church at Wildwood for nearly 8 years, I guess you've got to do some pretty serious penance. So Greg and Kathy decided that an appropriate punishment for me would be to make me speak and give the sermon today. So I think they just wanted a week off from writing the sermon. But so sorry, everyone, you're stuck with me. No, seriously. They asked me to speak today, and I accepted because this church has inspired me and supported me in so many ways during my time as a Peace Corps volunteer. So I want to share with you some of the ways that your support really has made a difference in the community where I was placed. So I would say that the story of my service in El Salvador begins a long time before September of 2004, which was when I boarded a plane to San Salvador. I would say it really began here in the Wildwood Presbyterian Church community, with its emphasis on caring for others as one of the most important expressions of our faith. And perhaps there's no better symbol of this community than this little piece of rope that I hold here. Everyone see? It's not a long piece of rope. It's about 6 inches long, but it's good and strong. It's gone a lot of places with me. It's gone to college in Minnesota. It went to Ecuador when I volunteered with the Rural Development Organization for a short time, and it went to El Salvador, where it resided with me for over 3.5 years. So many of you who have been a part of the youth groups here at Wildwood will recognize it. As many of you know, each year WPC sends its youth to rebuild homes and rebuild hope in impoverished communities from abandoned coal mining towns in Appalachia to Native American reservations in South Dakota. So during these trips, each night, all of us would gather around a much longer piece of rope and that was tied in a circle, and we would hold on to it as we said what was on our mind. We'd share our experiences with the people of the community, and we'd reflect on the importance of the work that we were doing. For us, this rope is a symbol of God's love that binds us together in community. And this is a piece of the original rope, which is given to all seniors on the last night of the last mission trip as part of the high school youth group. I believe the rope that they use now is much, much bigger, which is great. So I'm glad to know that. Since graduating from high school, this piece of rope has also reminded me that because I'm connected with the God that sustains all life, I'm also connected with all of God's people in a global community. So this is one of the lessons of all great religious traditions, and it's one that I learned as part of this community, reflecting on biblical passages in Sunday school, but also, and perhaps even more so, seeing the example of people in this community who dedicated their time and energy to serving dinner at the homeless shelter or building houses for low-income people as a Habitat for Humanity volunteer. It's a lesson I learned patching the roof of an elderly woman's house in Virginia on a youth mission trip. So it was this lesson that we are connected to others through the God who gives us life that inspired me to serve as a Peace Corps volunteer. So as you can see, in a way, all of the projects that I sought to undertake in El Amazon, El Salvador, are projects of Wildwood Presbyterian, since this church inspired my desire to serve in the first place. But Wildwood has also provided unwavering support of my work in prayer, letters and cards, financial resources, and some muslin sweat as well. So for this, I would like to thank each and every one of you. So here I'll talk a little bit about some of the projects that Wildwood has supported most directly and share some reflections on how you've answered Christ's call to love God and your neighbors. As most of you know, in 2005, the church collected the better part of the funds that were needed to construct two new classrooms in the village school. So you can see there some of the people that came down on the construction site. So building began in October of 2005, and in November of 2005, six very buff women and men from this congregation came down to help with the construction. So I'm going to flip through a couple pictures, and you can see how hard they worked, mostly hauling bricks like that one, which is why it has such importance for us. So there they are, hauling bricks. Greg and Phil, or Felipe, as we call them in Spanish, mixing cement. There's me and my dad when they started laying the first row of bricks. And some people from the community laying the foundation. There we go. So that was the whole group that came down, and that's about how high they left the walls when they returned to the U.S. But work continued once the Wildwood group had left, as you can see in these pictures of the walls continuing to grow, and then the roof being put on. And students began occupying the classrooms in March of 2006, and the addition was officially completed and inaugurated in July of 2006. So there's the new building all decked out for the inauguration, and this is one of the kids' acts at the ceremony dedicating the building. And there's me with all the teachers and members of the Parents Association. So because of your prayers and your resources and your effort, the village of Alamaton was able to begin offering all grades of primary and secondary education to its kids in 2006. Before, they didn't have enough space to do this. So in November of that year, we celebrated the very first ninth grade graduation of children from Alamaton. So these students were then prepared to enter high school, which begins in 10th grade in El Salvador, and they were able to continue learning so that they can break the cycle of poverty and be citizens with knowledge and skills to serve their communities. So that first ninth grade class, there are quite a few that are now in their second year of high school, thanks in part to the fact that we were able to build this school. So that was one of the projects that Wildwood supported, but they didn't stop with that. You'll recall that many of you supported an initiative to begin raising improved breeds of chickens. So your donations made possible the purchase of the first flocks of the chicks, like the ones that the little boy is holding there, materials to build enclosures, coops, and nests for 30 families over 2 years, and also an incubator. So families learned a lot from this project. They learned about building proper facilities for their chickens, like these coops here, and also nests. They learned to provide good nutrition to the animals, as this woman is doing there. And also to give their livestock the proper vaccinations. So there's the session teaching about the different vaccinations, and then we actually taught the women to give the vaccinations themselves. There we go. So families are now seeing the fruits, or should I say eggs, of their labors. The flocks in the project are healthier and better protected because they've been raised in enclosures, and the households are also more sanitary because the chickens are being kept separate from the kitchen areas. Many flocks have hatched in the incubator, which greatly increases the hatching rate. And this picture shows the woman in charge of the incubator checking on the hatching of the chicks. So hatching more chicks is allowing the families to enlarge their flocks, to share with their neighbors, and even sell some chickens to people in other towns. People from other towns have heard about these chickens, they've come to our community and have purchased eggs and have also paid to incubate the chicks, so which provides a source of income for the people of my town to buy food for better nutrition, medical and health care, school supplies for their kids, like these two kids that also help to care for the chicks. There we go. So now many of you are probably wondering about the community's most serious need, which was potable water. There we go. Okay. Many of you may have received my updates in which I wrote about the one ailing public faucet that was serving over 120 families. There we go. The intense water scarcity in the dry season, in which each family maybe received only 7 gallons of water a day for all of their daily needs, and the long treks that were made by women and children to bring back water from springs for drinking and cooking. There we go. There's some of the springs where they would get their water, and then the walk back. And also the treks made to wash clothes in a contaminated river. Now La Matone does have water piped from a well to each home through a project that was promoted by the mayor. The project is far from ideal, but still supplying sufficient water to the village the last I spoke with people. But water scarcity wasn't the only water-related problem when I arrived in La Matone. As I made my initial house visits, I found that many people suffer from illnesses caused by poor water quality. Almost all the water sources in Central America are contaminated by latrines, and the well that's used by the mayor's project is no exception. Water used for human consumption frequently carries bacteria, amoebas, giardia, other parasites that can cause problems, a lot of problems, from diarrhea to vomiting to nausea to chronic headaches. Shortly before I arrived in La Matone, diarrhea claimed the life of an infant. That was one of the most difficult things for me to hear about. I don't know if any of you have looked into the eyes of mothers grieving the unnecessary loss of children, but that was something that I had to do again and again as I made my initial house visits, and they would tell me about this. In an excellent book called The God of Jesus, New Testament scholar Stephen Patterson asserts that for Christians, the words and deeds of Jesus reveal the nature of God. And he then continues on to note that in the Gospels, one of Jesus' most common activities is healing people, especially poor and marginalized people, lepers, the blind, the lame, the daughter of a foreigner, a Syrophoenician woman. The Gospels tell us that Jesus' word, Jesus' touch, made them well again, restored them to health and to the human community. For me, Jesus' actions reveal that the will of God is health and abundant life for all God's children and all God's creation, especially those that society has forgotten and neglected. So in La Matone, the lack of clean, safe water for drinking and basic sanitation was robbing people of the chance to live the full and dignified lives that God intended. In some cases, contaminated water was robbing infants of God's most precious gift, life itself. In following in Jesus' footsteps meant healing the illness and the powerlessness not just of one child, but of an entire community. So this is something that's exactly what you have all helped to accomplish through a project of filters for household water treatment combined with hygiene education. As the Health Committee and I researched different options for making drinking water safe, we became aware of a solution called the BioSand filter. It's a very simple technology. It's promoted by, among other organizations, one called Pure Water for the World, and it's been diagrammed on the screen above. And this is capable of removing essentially 100% of worms and parasites and about 97% of the bacteria from contaminated water. So each family then completes the purification process by adding a little bit of chlorine to the filtered water to kill the remaining bacteria, and then it's safe to drink. So once we had a project proposal and a budget drawn up, WPC was there once again with prayers and financial resources to make possible the purchase and the transport of the filters and cover expenses of hygiene education sessions, project supervision, deparasitizing medications, and all the things that go along with the project. So in October of 2007, I trained the health committee. So here they're learning how to illustrate transmission of germs and help people think about how the chain of transmission of germs could be stopped. Together, we then held trainings in the community and the school to teach basic hygiene and sanitation and filter use. Explaining where microbes come from. There they're learning how the filter works and how it stops the different parasites from getting through. And here the students are learning to identify good and bad hygiene practices. And this is a really important part of the project because it doesn't really help to be drinking clean water if the general hygiene habits are still not good. So this went along with the filters project. So the filters were delivered from the Pure Water Project in Honduras near the end of November. And here we are unloading them from the trucks. And so we then began to deliver them and install them in each home. So we delivered some on hand carts. We delivered some on ox carts. And for the most inaccessible ones, we had to deliver them slung between four men because we couldn't get an ox cart or a hand cart in there. Those weigh empty. They weigh about 330 pounds. So they're pretty strong. And then came the task of going to each home with the health committee and installing the filters and teaching the families how to use them. So here's some pictures of installing the filters. So now there's about 77 filters that are installed, and they're providing safe drinking water to nearly 400 people. And the health committee continues to install filters. We still have filters. They're still installing them. So many people have already commented that they experience less stomach aches and their kids don't get diarrhea as much. And the health committee has plans to provide deparasitizing medications to the families that are using the filter in the near future so that they can eliminate the parasites that were already in their system when they started drinking the filtered water. So I'm hoping that then we'll see an even more dramatic change in people's health. Health committee and I are hoping that these filters will nearly eliminate the problem of parasitism and stomach illnesses to improve child survival, school attendance of the kids, and productivity of the adults. So in the meantime, several people have commented that they are drinking more water because they feel that the filtered water is safer. So that's another benefit. And another side benefit that we didn't know about before we installed the filters was that the water comes out cooler than it goes in because of the cement. And so for people who can't afford a refrigerator, a glass of cool water is a very welcome refreshment after a hard day working in the sun of the fields. But I want you also to know that this project that you made possible wasn't just about handing out filters. It was about providing people with the knowledge and the skills that they need to care for the health of their families and of their community. Thanks to the community education sessions, people have improved their personal hygiene habits and cleaned up their homes, and the entire community has been made a more sanitary place to live. Not that they still don't have a lot of work to do, but I have definitely seen progress. The last I spoke with folks from the health committee about a week ago, they had just installed trash and recycling bins in public places with some of the extra funds from the projects, and they had given talks in the community on their proper use. So you have all given people hope. You've given them a sense that they have the capacity and the tools to free their families from the illness and the suffering that they just thought was inevitable for so long. And I'm especially excited about the way that the project has built the capacity of the health committee, which is pictured here in our uniforms that we use to do house visits. They've learned so much, and they've taken on so many new responsibilities. They've educated their fellow community members. They've gone around monitoring the filters to make sure people are using them correctly. They've managed donations. They prepare reports every month. So these are all the skills that they'll need to keep on carrying out projects to improve the community's health. So what is the message from El Salvador that I hope that you take away from this sermon? The first comes from Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servants. Like the trustworthy servant of Jesus' parable who wisely invested the talent given to him, so have you all been good stewards of God's gift in supporting our mission to create a better life for the people of El Amazon. Whether it was with your time, with your money, or your prayers, all of you have been God's caring heart and generous hands to a people in need. So I hope that these little snapshots of just some of the projects that the church has supported give you an idea of the ways in which your different contributions have been multiplied many times over, like the servant's talent invested wisely, to improve people's lives and to give them hope. Yet our work of bringing in God's kingdom of justice and peace and human dignity is not done. Too many people still lack the basics in life. Too many children will never go to school and realize their full potential. Creation cries out. So I hope that the second message that you take away from this sermon is God's call, spoken through the prophet Isaiah, to work toward a world where all people are cared for. This passage reads, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. To me, this passage says that we are called to give of our resources, our talents, and our lives to be thoughtful and caring citizens of the world, for all people and all creation are our own kin. Judging from your outpouring of concern, I would say that you have indeed learned to see the people of El Salvador as your own kin, and I hope that you have experienced the guidance and provision and strength promised by God to people of generous hearts. Now I hope that each of you continues to care for others in the ways that you feel called. So for those of you that were here for wonderful confirmation sermon last week, using Greg's analogy of jazz, God has given us the guidelines, the rules. Feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, bring hope to the downtrodden. Or to sum it all up, in the words of the prophet Micah, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. That's the framework, that's the rules. But within that framework, there's amazing freedom. You all have the freedom to improvise your own song, and you will be backed up by God's love. You all have so much you can give, your time and energy as a volunteer, your voice as an advocate for more just policies, both here at home and abroad, your resources as a donor to causes you consider important. I've compiled just a short list of a few organizations that work in these things, and I set it on the table back there, so I hope maybe you'll take a look and jot down a web address or two, or choose organizations of your own that you feel are important. That certainly is not an exhaustive list back there. And consider getting involved. So, thank you for supporting me and your Salvadoran brothers and sisters in our efforts to create a better life for the community. Well done, good and faithful servants, and may you continue to walk the walk of justice and mercy and compassion. Thank you, and amen.
I ask Philip and Laura Rovang to come forward because we have a presentation to make to Megan, and Megan has promised to act surprised since we did this at the first service also.
Thank you. Many people here this morning have watched Megan grow up. So you've been here a long time, and you've seen her grow from a child to a lovely young lady. Some of you are just meeting Megan for the first time. Perhaps you're new in recent years and you've not had that opportunity. And so this is your time to get to know her. Phil and I have been members here for around 8 years. So as we were arriving, she was leaving. So the way that we've gotten to know her is mainly through this time of her being a Peace Corps volunteer. When Megan went to El Amatan, I was on session with her mother. And Liz would provide us with monthly updates on her well-being, on her dreams, and for the projects that she had planned for the people of El Amatan. And she encouraged us to encourage her, which we did, and the church became involved. These projects varied, as you saw today, from building an addition to the school, to helping to supply chickens, and then definitely to help with the water project. Phil, in turn, was part of the mission team that went to El Amatan to support Megan in the building of the school addition. On behalf of the congregation, we would like to thank you, Megan, for your passion, your energy, and your devotion to the village and to the people that you adopted as your home away from home. We would also like to thank you for the gifts that you have given this congregation. First, you gave us the gift of awareness. It's easy for us to be very complacent in our world. We live within our four walls of our homes and our automobiles as we go about our daily business. But you made us aware of a community beyond our own walls, a community where people live and survive in a much simpler world, but people who have concerns and needs. You invited us to that world, and you opened our eyes to a people and to a need that we could respond to. And then you gave us the gift of opportunity. For the most part, when we give money to the church, we know that part of that is going towards mission. But it's a very sanitized action. We may never learn how it was used or who was benefited. But your work opened our eyes to, or our ability to give with purpose and support towards tangible goals, and for some of us, even hands-on service. And for that, we thank you for making El Amatón a better place and for making us a better people. From this day on, we know that you'll be going and we ahead, and you have many plans of your own, but we thank you and pray that God will go with you and guide your path.
I've been asked to speak a little bit about our trip to El Amatón 2.5 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long ago. And I'm really glad that I'm given an opportunity, because as I look around, I think we have well over 100 new members in our church just in that last 2.5 years. But we had a great chance when given the opportunity to not only to donate money towards the materials for this new church, but also then we got the bright idea that we ought to go down there and help start this new school and just see if we can make a small but visible impact on this community that we basically knew nothing about other than the message that we were getting through Megan. So I wanted to give you kind of some perspectives of that trip as far as I'm concerned. And I think it probably goes back to that whole experience that we had when we arrived in El Amatón with our six. Pastor Greg was there. I think you know Nancy Brothers. And then Sharon Garanda was also there. And, of course, Megan's father, Fred Gregory, sorry, were all part of this group that went down there. But we knew that when we arrived there, this gal was organized. We were there parts of 8 days, but every day was organized out. She had us figured out what we could do from the day that we arrived at the airport to where she dropped us off later on at the end. And it really helped us, because when we came down there, we weren't sure we were going to be doing much more than hopefully maybe helping with the construction of this school, but we really didn't know what else to expect. The second part about it was that she wanted to make sure we had a chance to meet the wonderful, loving people of this community. And so she worked it out with the school leaders so that every day our group had a chance to commune with, eat with these five different families throughout the week, to get them to know, we get to know them more personally on, you know, breaking bread together. And at the same time, they got a chance to meet us and to talk with us. Unfortunately, we had to talk through Megan, because she's the only one who knew Spanish in the group. And we tried to pick up a few words as we went along, but unfortunately, I think that was maybe the part that we wished maybe we'd known a little bit more about. But Megan wanted to make sure that we got to know about this loving community of El Amatón. I think we also learned that Megan has a tremendous faith in Christ that was very obvious throughout the week, that came out on a daily basis on how she lived her life, how she loved the people of that community, and it was very impressive to us. She was very perseverant. My heavens, we had challenging projects to work on. You saw them from the slideshow that she just gave you. This gal could not be stopped. And she worked very hard on this school project and made it happen. She worked on other projects there that you saw there. And she certainly could have done her quiet little Peace Corps job and quietly gone home after a couple of years. But she became a very strong advocate for the community. She pitched in during the construction at the school, which I thought was
rather interesting because she was trying to, I think, break some of the norms of the community. She went over and started helping mix the cement for the bricks. She was carrying the bricks. She was digging the trenches for the footings. And she was breaking every norm because the women just don't do that in El Matón. And I think she kind of shook the guys up because they didn't see ladies go up there and work the way she did. And she was a real trooper, that's for sure. On the other hand, she tried to break the other side of the norms. And Fred and I know about those in particular because she had us in the kitchens making tortillas. I don't know if they weren't very edible, but we did our parts. And guys just don't go into the kitchen. Then after the meal, we got the opportunity to do dishes. Guys don't do dishes down there. And it was probably a shock, but I think probably the biggest shock for the men was the day when Fred and I went down to the creek. You saw the one lady who was standing in the water washing clothes on the shore. Fred and I got in there and we washed our clothes. I think they were a little bit cleaner afterwards. But we got a chance to see how they literally wash every piece of clothing on, you know, throughout the year in this creek down here. And it was quite the experience. But I'm sure the word got around that night when the word got out that Fred and I had been down washing clothes. So she really had quite an experience with us coming there. But I think she also had the ability to make the most of this very short week that we were down there. But I think we probably got more out of it than maybe even the residents of El Matón. And for that, we're very lucky. So I'll turn it back over to Laura.
Well, as you know, Megan, for the last 6 or so years, the women of the Wednesday evening circle have been making quilts. And sometimes these quilts have been given to offer comfort, and other times they've been auctioned as a way of raising money towards mission. But today, we give a quilt in gratitude. During your first year in El Salvador, a quilt was made with you in mind. And today, I would like that quilt to be presented by one of the individuals of that group. I don't think anyone else is here. If you are, please come forward. I think most everyone, well, Liz, come on up. And Fred, why don't you come up? You didn't participate with the quilt, but you certainly had a hand in other things. But this quilt was made with Megan in mind. And if you have a chance to view it afterwards when it will be in the narthex, you'll see the lovely appliques that are on it. Pam Wessel had already moved to Iowa and was not here to work on this quilt, but she wanted to be a part of it. And so we sent her some of the blocks. She created the appliques that all have reference to or make reference to her missions. There's one in the corner for the school, and then many of the others concern themselves with the water project. And so she was a part of that as well. And so we give this to you. We ask and hope that you will wrap yourself in it and know that you are wrapped in God's love as well as the best wishes of Wildwood Presbyterian Church.
We also have a few pesos to buy a few books in grad school, and one more gift that we're giving Megan, and then we're taking it right back. Steve Susco of our church inscribed the brick from the school in El Matón with, it says, Megan's School, El Matón, El Salvador, 2005. So this will be a keepsake for our church as we remember you and the people of El Salvador, of El Amatón, who are indeed our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Thank you so much to all of you. And I just want all of you to know that that the people of El Amatón have not forgotten this whole entire church, and especially the people that did come down to help. They always are asking me still about, ¿Y cómo están los hermanos y las hermanas de la iglesia? How are the brothers and sisters of the church? Salúdeme. Greet them for me. And so they do remember you. And right before I left, they actually asked me to give a special greeting to the whole church. And I just remembered that now. And so I'm fulfilling that responsibility. So thank you from the people of El Amatón. They have not forgotten you, and they will never forget you. They always are talking about this church. So thank you.
Like you all just gather around Megan for a second. We send our we confirm our eighth graders with a blessing, and we send off our high school graduates with a blessing, and Megan is now heading off to Cornell University in a couple of weeks for doctoral studies in world agriculture and sustainable development. Go figure. who knows? She might be working at the United Nations someday. Who knows? But we want to send you off with our prayers and blessing as well. So that's all.
Just join in prayer. Lord, you have created us and blessed us and given us opportunities to serve your world and make it a good place. And we thank you for Megan, who has given so much of her time and effort and her joy in reaching out to places that would have been unknown to us. We thank you for the connections with our brothers and sisters in El Amatón. And we thank you for her energy and enthusiasm, which has made the world and that place a better place to live and grow and be. We pray your blessing upon her as she goes forth and continues her journey, for all those who love her and care for her, for her family and her church family and all her friends who have encouraged and supported her along the way. Lord, thank you for the doors you've opened to us and the windows that have been flung wide so that we might see the greater work of your Spirit in the world. So bless and cherish Megan even as we all do, and send her forth with your Spirit in Christ's name. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.